Welcome back to another episode of we're roasting each other, brother.
Boo.
And today we're going to be talking about the second Planet of the Apes movie. Can I call it the second Planet of the Apes movie?
No.
If there's other Planet of the Apes movies and these are the reboot. I feel like when you talk about the Planet of the Apes movies, these are just the movies you talk about.
Dang, not the 1968 classic.
What are you doing? Why are you on your phone over there?
I'm looking up shit. What do you
about
mean? This is
what
we do. Why are you on your laptop over there?
Oh, crazy enough, I got to record the podcast.
Ugh, whatever. I could be recording it over here on my phone.
That'd be dumb. So, any interesting things happened with you, Nate?
In the last 90 minutes?
No. You could have saved some stories. You know what I mean?
It's 4th of July weekend, recently.
We talked about this on last week's episode, and you had nothing to say about 4th of July, so I don't want to hear it again.
It's pretty uneventful, yeah. It's fun, though. Oh, man.
We're on the couch today.
Yeah.
Every week, I feel like we have to have a new location now.
Yep.
Last week, we were outside in the Redwoods.
Oh, we could do one in a boat? You got some kayaks out there.
In a kayak?
Yeah.
That's a long extension
cord. Kayast.
Didn't sound very
good. Podcast.
But we would need a really long extension cord.
No, we just need to get like a big battery.
A generator?
Yeah, one of those.
A big battery.
No, they have those big batteries that you can like jump cars off with that have outlets in them. You can just charge up. Yeah. Yeah,
good one, dude. Just don't drop it in the lake.
Yeah.
Kill everything in the lake.
That's not how that works.
But what if it was? Just giant shockwave. That's how you kill Aquaman. You just put a generator in the ocean.
What the fuck? You have no idea how electricity... You know, like, lightning strikes the ocean all the time.
And everybody dies, isn't it?
Everyone dies.
Everywhere.
It's really hard to get over, honestly. It's just constantly everyone's dying.
Look, it used to make the news all the time, but it became such a common occurrence, they don't talk about
just
it anymore.
Bumming everybody out, you know?
They don't talk about it anymore. Who wants to hear about, you know, someone dying every day?
Mm-hmm.
And at first they thought it was, you know, the Loch Ness Monster that was taking people out.
What actually happens to your body when you get electrocuted?
What do you mean? Because,
like, in cartoons...
Here we go.
Like, when you get shocked, it looks like you get, like, burned. Right? Like, you get all fried. Like, you get charred black. Your hair is all standing up. It look, you know, it's like it's got, like, a burning effect. And there's, like, the smoke lines coming from the top of your head. Right? You're with me?
Yeah, smoke lines.
Yes.
Top head. Yep.
Mm-hmm. But if you were in
freaking
water...
I'm Daffy Duck over here. I'm following you.
If you're in water, can't get burned. So... What's electricity doing to people in water? Nothing.
Effects from electrocution can include burns or interference to our body's electric signals. The interference can disrupt important bodily function, like keeping our heart beating, for example.
Mm.
So it basically stops your heart and fries you from the inside out.
Defibrillator. Right back going again.
Right back going.
You know, a defibrillator doesn't actually restart your heart.
What does it do?
I don't know. I've just been told it doesn't actually restart your heart. I know.
You've been
if your heart stops,
guys,
they do
listen.
Not...
Nate's been told, so it must be true.
Look it up.
I will, but I'm just going to put that out there.
Defibrillator.
Defibrillator. Defibrillator.
Are devices that restore normal heartbeat by sending an electronic pulse or shock. They are used to prevent or correct an arrhythmia, a heartbeat that is uneven.
Too slow or too fast.
Oh, it says defibrillators can also restore the heart's beating if the heart suddenly stops.
Oh, really? So it can restart your heart. That's crazy. You know what's crazy is Nate just heard that they can restart your heart. So I guess it's true now. They couldn't 2 seconds ago. Like physically, if he had a heart attack an hour ago, it wouldn't have worked. But now it will. So I'm glad you changed the course of history for us, Nate.
Somebody who knows doctors told me.
Who's that? Because apparently you can't listen to anything they say.
Jonah.
Yep, that's
Jonah. You called out.
This is why your brother. That's his brother. I'm really calling him out now. Mm. This is why you should go to the doctor. Because everything you hear about, well, you know, doctors and and I got doctors all around me, so I gotta go.
Whatever, dude. Don't you take shaman medicine, right?
Nate, how's your back? I'm actually curious because I would have asked off podcast, but I just forgot because I don't care about you really. So,
right, of course. I've decided that I'm ignoring it.
Cool.
I'm just going to power through. I'm going to start exercising again and just act like it doesn't bother me.
Are you, is this a joke?
No.
So what? Why did you decide to not go to the doctor when you said, "Yeah, I'm probably gonna have to because it's getting pretty bad"?
The doctor fucking cost me $171.
Whatever,
it's fucking ridiculous.
You're just back to where you started. You're like, "Yeah, I'm eventually gonna have to."
I'm $171 out, and now I like muscle relaxers. So I, I'm just kidding. But seriously, about $171. But
well, you should go to a doctor where the doctor shows up.
How much would that cost? Because the doctor didn't even show up and it was $171.
Yeah,
so.
Your doctor sucks. I'll call him out. You give me the name, I'll call him out because I'm not ever going to go there. I don't care.
Dang.
You go to a place that you basically made sound like a rundown place.
Dr. Brown.
Where you show up and no one's ever seen the doctor before.
Yeah, kind of. Certainly none of us ever have. But
it's the same dude selling M&Ms on the street.
Maybe doctors don't exist. Have you ever met one?
Yeah, I have, actually. You know, when I meet my doctor, usually when I go to the doctor.
Whatever. You met someone who said, "Hey, I'm a doctor." What does that mean? Nothing. Did they ever prove it? Have you ever seen a doctorate diploma?
I think they usually have them hanging up in their office.
That's just a piece of paper.
That's a diploma. You were trying to bust me on the stupidest stances that make no sense. Go take your eggplant foot out of here, dude. I'm over it. So nothing new for you this besides sock, your...
This eggplant sock is designed to get them in the mood.
Further.
You know what I mean?
I'm done. I'm not regarding what you're saying. So what you're telling me is you are nothing interesting. You're just further down the hole of your back is going to hurt forever.
Yeah, that's about
what a crazy story
you got going on, huh? You're always sitting here memeing me about not having anything interesting going on. Then you'll tell me about how, I don't know, you saw a bug on the road and it reminded you of something, and that's it. That's your whole story.
That's stuff that gets us spinning into conversation. That's all I got to do. You just got to engage the conversation.
Okay, you're right.
Yeah, I was just asking if there's anything else. Mm-hmm. I said besides your
so
back.
So what happens in your boring, stupid life?
I had
see
to
how
get
that's a loaded
COVID
question?
Tested again.
Again?
Yep, had to get COVID tested.
So more Q-tips up the nose, huh?
But this time... I had to do it to myself while they watched.
That's weird.
Yep.
Just, I guess that's another degree of separation between them and you, so that makes sense, right? A little bit.
I mean, I guess.
Because, I mean, to do it, because they have to keep it in there for a minute. So, like, they got to be, like, close and kind of up in you, you know? Like, this way, they just kind of, like, it'd be funny if they tossed the kit to you to try to keep maximum distance.
So... It's not. It wasn't even a kit. It was just the.
Just the Q-tip.
Yeah, but it's a Q-tip that's
like. It's like a special Q-tip.
The size of.
It's really long.
Yeah,
I
mean, obviously,
like
I
normal. I was about to say it's not like a giant.
I'm holding up like my hand is like a foot long, like a ruler length.
But it's not like scaled up. It's not like a foot long and also like 6 inches wide.
It is.
Wow.
Just jam that sucker up. See the microphone you're holding in your hand right now?
Yeah.
You're just basically shoving that up
Dang.
Your nostrils. Yeah. So. They gave me the Q-tip,
hot,
and they told me that I had to go up both nostrils, whereas the last time I only had to do one. But this time I had to do it myself.
Did you have to use the same Q-tip? Gross.
Yeah.
Ugh.
What?
What?
It's your nose.
Would you stick a used Q-tip in your ear? No. You wouldn't.
No, but that's only because if it's used, it's got earwax on it, and the whole purpose is to get the earwax out,
Sorry.
So you want to put more earwax in.
I'm not pulling the disease. I wouldn't do it because it's gross.
I'm not pulling the disease out of my nose and putting it back in the other nostril.
Actually? No, I don't think that's how the test works, but kind of. pull Z's out of there.
So what do you...
But
what,
still,
so
there's still, you come in contact with boogers and stuff, you know what I mean? It's your nose.
What's in your other nostril.
Yeah, but not
boogers.
Those boogers.
You tell me there's a world...
There's something creepy about that.
So you're telling me that we have, there are borders and governments of boogers in our nose, that one may not pass the border to the other. There are strict countries, basically. Of borders.
You could say I have a booger wall.
Well, not that booger, but there's other boogers, and this booger's not allowed into this booger. Mm. There are separations here. I don't know, man. That's I don't think it's that complicated when it comes to your nose, but
so
that's just me.
I don't know, dude. That's just, it would just creep me out to like pull something out of my nose and then stick it right up the other one just right after. I don't know. Just like, it's not, for me, cleaning my ears isn't about getting earwax out of there. I just like the feeling of it. But I would still never stick the other one in my other ear. It's just
you just stick the thing in.
It honestly, like if you haven't done it in a while, it is kind of euphoric.
Especially if it's like right after you took a shower, so it's like,
oh yeah, yeah, for sure. Everything's all moist.
So yeah, I had to go to the place and they gave me the Q-tip and I put it up there. And I will say that it hurt less than the first time because I did it myself. And I was like, I'm not going to go as far as I'm going to go as far. And if they tell me to go further, I'll go further because you're going to get samples. I don't need to jab my brain and get like, tap, do a spinal tap through my nose. So, which I've done a spinal tap before. Have you ever done a spinal tap?
What do you think?
You don't go to doctors, so maybe if you...
What does that even entail? Is that like a needle in the spine?
It takes the spinal fluid out of your spine.
Yeah, so it's a needle in the spine.
Yeah, like a big one.
Why did you do that?
I don't remember.
Well, it doesn't sound very worth it to me.
I did it when I was like...
Did they find what they were looking for? Yeah, they're gooping they there.
What you looking for back there? I just want to make sure, you know, you got a moist spine. Make sure that if we were to rip it out, it would slip and slide all over the place.
You know that the blood in your body is produced from your bones?
Whoa.
Isn't that weird, though?
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's bones, brother.
I don't care. The spinal tap, though. Okay. When you get a spinal tap, you have to lay on your side, and the back is facing...
I guess you wouldn't lay on your back.
Well, you could lay, like... on your stomach and they just jab it in there. But I laid on my side, they get in there, and then you feel it going into your bone. Like you feel it in your body, and then you feel like, and it like goes in your, and
would
you hear
you say
it.
That's a
like
good feeling or a bad feeling?
It was bad. Have you ever been stabbed in the bone?
Can't say that I've had that particular memory.
Your memory's going too, huh?
You don't even remember why you did that happen.
You were with me, though.
What?
You don't remember this?
No, I wasn't.
Why
You're
the
lying.
Heck would you be with me, yeah. Nate? The fact you believe
me for
0.5 seconds.
Yeah, you had me for a second.
I mean, the random adventures we've been on. I think you've been in the place. Like, have you... You've been in...
What's going on?
When I've had my blood taken. I know for some reason Colin was with me at some point when I got my blood taken.
Why did you get your blood taken? Is it just a blood test for something?
Yeah. Obviously that's more routine than, my routine spinal tap. Just getting some sap out the spine. I turn it into my own maple syrup.
Yeah. You just go through that procedure. You look up. Doctor. That's good shit.
Just mix it with a little...
What are spinal fluids like? I imagine it kind of like tree sap.
That's why I said
like maple syrup type of thing.
Is maple syrup made of tree sap? Am I an idiot?
Maple is a type of tree.
So we're idiots.
I never questioned it.
Oh, man. This is good. What
maybe,
was I saying?
Maybe spinal fluid's more like an olive oil kind of a thing, you know? Kind of a more runny.
Yeah.
A little saltier.
It's if you want maple syrup, but a little bit of crisp, salt on it. Himalayan salt.
You're a big balsamic vinegar guy. Would you dip your bread in spinal fluid?
Yeah, this episode is all over the place. It says, but yeah, Colin was with me at some point when I was getting my blood taken, and I remember getting like shot.
That's the guy from Hot Guys, The Martian, and something else. I can't fucking remember.
Oh, I said getting shot. I went to get my blood taken, and I got shot.
That's a quick way to get to your blood, I'll be honest.
And the doctor just went, oh, cool, that's a good hole. Just put a beaker underneath as I tripped.
Oh, yeah. Getting a lot here.
And they just kept poking me, and they couldn't find... They kept missing. And I was just... At that point, I was a big old piece of... I was a screen door. I was going to go Swiss cheese, but I felt like I needed a different analogy.
A screen door.
Yeah, just poked a lot, you know, a bunch of different holes. I was going to go Swiss cheese, but like I said, look how big this vein is, bro. Like, you can see my veins.
You're not very vascular. I'm just kidding.
So, with that being said, I shoved this thing up my
nose. They should poke them the ones in your hand.
I'm
those
trying
always,
to bring it back.
Oh, they're gone right now. But
I think that's
those
dangerous.
Those come out first, I feel like, or they're most visible, you know?
Dude, there's is so that, much. There's
like
so
the
much,
same size.
There's so much more in your body than just blood vessels.
Go on.
And veins.
Name one other thing.
Spinal
fluid
syrup.
So we are blood vessels, and spinal fluid.
Syrup.
Spinal syrup.
No. So, but can you imagine just sticking someone with a needle and going, oh, yeah, I'm just going to get that vein? Dude, there's like bones and tendons. Mm. Like, dude, I'd be so nervous to just
also,
stick someone.
Everything a doctor does, they have to do for the first time at some point.
Yeah.
So, like, that's bad.
I got that done when they screen-doored me up.
Well, I was thinking of, like maybe not you, but someone getting their spine tapped.
It's a lot more than tap, I will tell you that.
Has to at some point, someone has to be the first guy for whatever doctor. In fact, that's got to be a lot of people.
Yeah.
That seems like a pretty easy, like, if you fuck that up, that's a big deal, right? Probably not walking.
There is a chance, yeah, I think there's a chance you can get paralyzed from that, so.
Again, what are they looking for? Because I don't want the answer.
They just, I'm telling you, they got a room, dude.
They got a room?
A room of syrup. So, so anyways.
That's gotta be good shit.
So anyways, yeah, that's what I did. I had to COVID test myself and shove something in my ass. And the one time they're like, all right, go a little deeper. I went a little deeper. It made like each eye water when I went up there and made me cough each time I did it. But besides that, unlike the first time, whereas the first time I immediately started sweating from every pore and it was like a firework rocket went off in my nose. So it was better than that. And I think I'm going to
get used to it.
Yeah, I'm going to probably have to do it again sometime soon, you know?
I think you're getting a little addicted to it, actually. You're just starting to
it's kind of
it.
Great, I'm not going to lie.
What? Tyler Sub.
Oh, that's our Patreon.
I do feel like that would give you an immense amount of power, just sitting there holding the Q-tip. Not you doing it to yourself, but you doing it to someone else. So now a Q-tip to the brain, just being like, one more centimeter and you're over. Just kill you with this.
That's
Q-tip.
Not how it works. Not. You just keep going and go to your throat at a certain point. What if someone like went and just like sniffed when they were doing it?
It just went straight down.
you ain't gonna know if I got COVID or not. And just walks out. Oh man!
All they be smelling is tip. That's all I got.
All right, let's break into some movies.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, also known as the movie with the worst title ever. I do not like the titles for these movies.
Do not like the
title. We didn't talk about it when we did Rise, but Rise and Dawn, that's two beginning things.
Yeah, I don't understand
bad.
That. Dumb. It is bad. It is
what
dumb bad.
What middle thing would you start the title of this
so
with?
Let's make the first one Dawn.
Sure.
Make this one Afternoon. Or noon, and
gotcha.
Then the next one will be evening.
1-ish p.m. of the of the Planet of the Apes. Lunchtime of the Planet of the Apes.
A crisp, starry evening on the Planet of the Apes.
That's the third one. Betty Bye.
Yep. So, yeah. What would you name these in all sincerity?
You could have called it Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Day of the Planet of the Apes, and then Night of the Planet.
It's
gonna
be dusk. It's dawn and dusk, or like the two opposite words for that.
Right, but you got three. So
no, yeah. So you go dawn, dusk, and something else in the middle.
But if you call it Night of the Planet of the Apes, it sounds like a zombie movie, and maybe we could do something there.
It doesn't though.
Yeah, like Night of the Living Dead.
Just
famous zombie
Living
movie.
Dead. That is the zombie
but
part.
But the night of
night?
Helps. It helps.
It's night.
Yeah.
At the museum, not a horror movie.
But you kind of thought when you
no,
first heard
I
the, oh,
no.
They're doing a night at the museum. Ooh.
I'm about to look up more movies that begin with night.
Night of the.
I'm literally putting night movies.
Night movies. Just.
Let's see what we got here. Let's see what we got here. 22 date
here.
Night movies.
Dang. Date night. That has night
movies
in it.
Movies with
Steve Carell and Tina Fey.
In the title.
I think Mark Wahlberg is in that as well. Cameo.
Nightcrawler.
Nightcrawler. Good movie. Jake Gyllenhaal being all weird.
Run All Night. That sounds like a scary
run
movie.
Run All Night. No, it's not.
Boogie Nights.
Boogie Nights. Okay. Mark Wahlberg
Date
again.
Night.
He's a porn star. Date Night. Yeah, I just brought that one up. Tina Fey.
Fright Night.
Fright Night. Oh.
Is that I think we're getting a good 50-50 split here, you know?
Yeah. How many Night of the movies are there?
Night at the Museum. Night.
Yeah, see, it's Night At. See,
well,
Night
fine.
At doesn't... It's
yeah, you're
zombies.
Not
going to
find any more
Night... Night of the... That's zombies.
You got two movies and one of them's an ape and one's a zombie, so that's all
well,
you
actually,
got.
Actually, we only have one movie and it's just the zombie one, so...
Oh, yeah.
The
I'm
Night
sorry.
Of the Planet of the Apes
but
doesn't
in your,
exist.
But in your world, you want it to...
And I would put some zombies in there.
Zombie apes. Zapes. So what would you call these movies?
Gosh.
I do like Rise. I think Rise is cool.
Yeah.
So this would honestly, I'd be cool if this was War. I don't think War is necessarily bad. It just doesn't seem to fit. I would be cool maybe if this was War of the Planet of the Apes.
And then the third one, maybe something like Fall.
But that would mean that I don't really. Now again,
one.
I don't
but
remember
would,
exactly what happens.
No, but they don't fall. Yeah, that's not really. I mean, well,
from what I remember, it's not a very conclusive ending.
Not really. No, it has a very War of the Worlds ending, if I remember correctly, because like. The threat, Woody Harrelson just fucking dies from the flu.
Yeah.
And that's how it ends. it's just kind of weird.
The come on, I need you to give me something here. I'm just sitting here making noises on the podcast.
See, I put Night of the Living Dead, first thing that came up.
Yes. What other movies are there? We established this. We're moving on. I'm trying to find out a good name for this movie. We have Rise of the Planet of the Apes. The next one can be War. And so you have Rise of the Planet of the Apes, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, and then it's War on the Planet of the Apes.
No,
it's not
War
of.
It's War on?
Yeah. I'm almost certain. War.
It's War on the Apes.
On. Or Four. I'm sorry. War for the Planet of the Apes. So it's still not of, but it's Four. But again, I haven't. It's been a hot minute since I've seen it, so it's hard.
Yeah,
to...
the thing is that I think I would have dropped the Planet of the Apes because it's not actually
just
all that
war, war,
just don't just rise. I think I would have changed the naming scheme up because the Planet of the Apes part. It's pretty obvious that it's a Planet of the Apes. Like,
I don't know. I think I've seen more time to be creative with it. I like the idea of keeping Planet of the Apes in there,
but it's not. Very accurate. It's not really a Planet of Apes.
Well, that's why I feel like the last movie, depending on how it actually goes, which I don't really remember, but if it's actually about them, like it is just kind of apes at the end of it, you could do something like the what is the word I'm looking for? Like if you conquer an area and you've like established that entire area is yours, you know what I mean?
Annexed it?
The annex of the planet? No, whatever. This doesn't matter.
Triumph.
So you don't like the name of this movie, but how do you
yeah,
like?
Yeah, the naming schemes of the whole thing is a little off, but it's not. It doesn't really matter. But this movie is dope. This is definitely
like
my favorite
dumb.
Of the two. I love it. Fantastic.
So
that's it. That's all I have to say.
I do really like this movie, and originally I would have said I like this one more, but after watching both of them back to back, I really don't know which one I like more. They are very close to even for me.
This one.
Because perfect. There were things that I liked the character, and there is character development in this for sure, which I still really appreciate that in this movie. But the character development from how far you see Caesar go in that first one and the connection that he had with Will, even though I know you didn't like that as much, the connection that he has with the humans here still definitely works. It's just a lot more, and I think you like these kind of connections, is more diplomatic. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's confrontational.
It's a survival
type. Yeah, and it's not only that, because I like in this movie he has to deal with his internal ape struggle
yep.
with his people, and then also with the humans. He has to try to figure out, what's the best thing to do for them, while also not just being, you know, on the complete Cobra side of things, and just being like, let's just surprise them, kill them all, and be extra safe. Because in a weird way, Cobra is kind of right. You know what I mean? Like,
yes,
yeah. And I think that definitely makes this movie better is that it definitely has a way better villain. I mean, Rise kind of has a villain. It's big business guy, I guess. Mm-hmm. And he is nothing in comparison to just Koba straight up.
No, but...
But, and that's, I mean, I'm not saying that, like, a movie is made by a villain.
I don't think that he is the sole villain. I think for Rise, I think it's more of, like, all the humans that are treating them badly. So even the people in the sanctuary. Like, it was, like, more of the idea of...
Well, they're antagonists, but they're not, like, you know, the kid who played the whiny kid in Harry Potter is not the, he's not a, you know, he's not a villain. He's
just a shithead. But I don't think that any of them are villains... to that degree. I think they're all small antagonists, and the idea is breaking this mold of how they've been being treated and how it's affecting them and how they have to get out of it. Mm-hmm. I think that is the villain, is like the circumstances they're put in, which is why I like it. Because yeah. I don't think that guy had enough screen time, which he has enough, and he's like the big business guy, but that's just a piece of it.
I think he's supposed to be like what, you know, audiences latch onto as like big bad. I mean, he's portrayed that way for sure. I mean, they give him a villain depth at
again,
the end. Come on.
I don't. Yeah, but
I get
it
what
just,
you're saying, but I'm the way the movie presents
but so
it
does,
to you.
I mean, they give it like kind of a big villain death where it's just like, oh, he's surrounded. And then he escapes in the helicopter and he, you know, falls off that thing. So I understand that. But at the same time, they all band together and took down that stupid kid in the sanctuary. And sure, he had even less screen time and he was that kind of smaller antagonist, what you might consider in that. But that was a big deal for them, too. I like the idea of at least how I felt. It felt like it was a mix of kind of just the circumstances that they were in. Instead of that's why I wasn't like I guess what I'm saying is even if the business guy was more of the antagonist, like a more main one, to me I'm not comparing him to Koba because there were so many more elements that made the villain, which is more of just the circumstances than Rise. Make sense?
Sure.
But that's why they're different. That's why I like these, because in this one you have a more villainized person or villainized character.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, but and I'm sure we'll get into it more. But
because, again, I thought it was a good origin story, that first movie. Yeah, and it was set up because of the circumstances that multiple people put together.
Right.
That's why it's hard for me to pick, because I like the layers of the characterization of how it affected them. And whereas this is very layered as well, but it's... Man, they're just so different. That's what I'm saying. It's like all these movies feel so different, but they're so tied together, and that's another reason I really like them. Whereas this, like you said, he's trying to fight that conflict of not stooping to the level of how he felt humans were treating them, and thinking that all apes are good and all humans or all apes are good just because they're apes. But he knows from his experience that there are some good humans.
Yeah.
So it's just it's a cool dichotomy, but that dichotomy is a little more. Black and white compared to figuring out why he's being molded into who he's being molded into in the first one. Hope
molded
that makes
into sense. Who he's being molded
who
into.
He becomes to who? Sorry, who he becomes in the end of that movie, the end of Rise.
Yeah,
that characterization. That I'm just saying, from the start of that movie to the end of this is not necessarily a more detailed arc, but a bigger arc. It's just such a different arc from this, which I like. I love it. I'm just explaining the differences, not necessarily which one I like better.
Yeah.
But that I'm really where that came from was explaining why I didn't compare Koba directly to a specific character in the first one.
I get you. And they actually, I do think that the guy who plays Koba in this, Toby Kebbell, who is not who you would think, like he's been in some other stuff, like English guy, and he's not who you'd expect doing Koba in this movie, but he does a really good job, because I mean all the mocap people and obviously Andy Serkis do a really good job, but Koba especially, because he's for being someone, you know, who doesn't talk a lot at all and is kind of has this very brutish, just straight up, you know, mean character, but he's actually much more complicated, and he's showing that through a lot of, you know, physical performance. So I do find that very interesting, and I think it was really well done. And I just love how like smart Koba is in this movie, and how like kind of conniving his character is.
Yeah,
stuff like that. I guess we'll. Now, with our general takes, we'll start from the beginning.
Dude, I'm not ready to start from the beginning yet.
What the
fuck?
I feel like I always say we'll start from the beginning, and there's some other thing.
Well, they just get used to saying, you got anything else to say before we start at the beginning?
I don't like that.
Ah, sorry, dude. So yeah, I like this movie for a lot of different reasons. I kind of like going through this movie, not necessarily like kind of like what we did to the other one. We the things that we really stood out, we kind of talk about, and then if we want to start from the beginning, we can kind of go piece by piece and recap some of those. But if we don't feel like we have to go through every, you know, point piece by piece. Anyways, what I'm trying to say here is something that really stuck with me as far as this movie and what it was portraying and what it was kind of about is I'm trying to find out where I put this in. Okay, so at the very end where he basically kills Koba because he was like, oh, save me or whatever, and he grabs him and he's like, he goes, ape, not kill ape, because that's the whole thing that Caesar stands for.
Koba, not ape.
Yeah, and then he says, yeah, Koba, not ape.
Oh, fuck, my fish died.
What?
Yeah, Bob the fish, he's dead. It's my family fish.
Well, that's depressing.
I just got a text. Damn.
How long have you had Bob?
Dude, Bob, for a goldfish, he's like 5 or 6 years old.
Dang, dude.
Yeah, he's a big-ass boy. You know, you've seen my fish.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're big old boys in there.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I wonder if he just was bottom up.
Maybe he just got too turnt. Maybe he had a little too much fish food, you know?
Yeah, fish are kind of assholes, though. We had a couple of snails in the tank with him named, like, Boot and Sock, I think.
What are these names?
Bob and what was the other one called? Fuck, I can't remember. But they totally killed those snails.
Okay. Well,
anyway,
tangent,
but it's okay. It's just a fish.
And that's how he feels about animals. I'm just kidding.
Oh, come on. It's a fish, not like a dog or something.
Not to throw anything in shade your way. I would never own a fish.
Why?
Just because I want an animal I can like play with, like I can do something
with.
That's not necessarily play with a fish.
Yeah, I tickle his little...
Hey, what's it? He's dead.
He'd nibble on the end of my finger if I put it up there. He'd go up to the top, and I put my finger down like... Ooh, and
he nibbled you?
No, I didn't do that.
You know. Okay, so...
They would smack water at somebody when they walked by. It was pretty funny.
I'm not going to lie, though. It would be kind of cool to have a really big, like a big aquarium in your house.
Yo,
that would be kind
of
cool.
Only if you had shit tons of money. Aquariums are so much work.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit.
No, I'm saying that would be kind of cool. But besides that, I don't see a need to
because
have
I know
a fish.
Someone who has one of those big like saltwater aquariums in their house and stuff like that with like all the weird fish and stuff. Oh, my God. They like the amount of expense they go through to keep that thing running is insane.
Yeah, for me, like, again, I wouldn't even want it separate, like on a separate box, like standing on something.
Yeah.
I want it like in the wall. Like, I want the wall to be like flat, like part of it goes to like flat glass and that's where it's in there.
Yeah.
I'm talking expensive here.
Dang.
All right, where were we?
That's some bougie fish stuff right there, bro.
So when he basically says, like, you know, ape, not kill ape, and then he goes, you know, Koba, not ape, and then drops him.
Yeah. Tyler has something in his eyeball, apparently. Dang. He's going to have to go see his little doctors, his precious doctors.
No, I actually know what's worth seeing a doctor over and what's not. And to you, just nothing is. But yeah, guys, we're getting a lot of interruptions here. So I like that because it's reminiscent of what, because obviously if you look at him, he's a human. I'm a human. He's an ape.
Mm-hmm.
Duh, obviously. But that's him kind of saying, like, you know, ape not kill ape, and him saying earlier in the movie that, like, you know, I trusted him just because he was an ape. And the way that he said that he's not an ape or just reminds me of, you know, the saying of what actually makes you human. Because it's interesting because I could see somebody watching that movie. I mean, it does a very good job at getting that point across. But, like, out of context, if you, like, say, like, that's not an ape, it's like... Because you don't think of putting that kind of stuff into context when it's talking about like animals. But when you're talking to a human, it's like, oh, what makes us human? My point is, if another species is having those same conversations of what makes you this, but if another species hears that, you'd be like, what are you talking about? You're a dog. Mm-hmm. You're a dog. A dog's a dog. But we as humans decide to say that there's something else that makes us human than just being human. Like, we take it a step further. And that's what it felt like in this is like, they're getting to the point where they're almost making the same questions humans do because they're getting so advanced. Is like, just as humans say, what makes us human? It's like, what makes you an ape? I don't know. It was an interesting parallel, and I kind of liked it, you know?
What does make us human, Tyler? If we're getting philosophical here. Is it just intelligence?
Well, I feel like when most people say that line, like, man, that's not even human. It's like when people are still, like, desensitized to stuff. You know what I mean? That's probably what I would go with.
So that's
like
how sensitive
you should
you
be
are?
Humanized. Like, you should be, like, you should be sensitive and caring about other people. Like, you should not just become a calloused outer
Historically,
shell.
Historically, that's not what makes us human.
That's my point. Just like an ape makes an ape by being an ape. The end. But to me, you ask to me. So don't ask me and then say, well, that's not right.
Yeah,
so to me, it's not being, you know, just an outer shell of like a
just
person.
Just because I asked you a question didn't mean I didn't have the answer.
So to me, yeah, I would say being somebody that, you know, cares about somebody, being humanized and
your dog cares about
best.
You. Is it a person?
That's being a dog, you know.
Just caring.
No, I'm not saying. Oh, my gosh. You asked me a question. What's your answer?
Hey, no, I'm just
What's
curious.
Your answer?
I'm just
What's
curious.
Your answer? So you don't care anything about this whole ape being ape and human, what makes a human. You just say, well, I guess if you're human anatomy, you're a human. So
no, I'm asking. I was just asking you, but I'm, you know, picking.
Try to answer. And you
popping,
just,
I'm picking popping holes,
destroying
you know?
It from me.
Yeah.
So what makes it
to I just didn't think, you know, caring and being sensitive was quite enough to be human. We're more than that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, what's more than that?
I don't know. We record podcasts. maybe we listen to them too. Maybe we rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. If you do that, you're human to me.
So you have no answer for me.
God, it is tough. It kind of if you're religious, it kind of ties into that because. Man, if we ever were in a position where we could give intelligence to apes, it would really like kind of throw a lot of take a lot of, you know, kind of religious questions into play.
Yeah. I think it's also the ability to like pursue. I almost want to say the ability to pursue happiness because like it's not that other animals aren't happy, but they're very limited. Like we have the opportunity to do stuff so we can like. Am I making any sense?
Not really. I mean, I assume all creatures are already pursuing happiness. Happiness just being in their well-being.
Yeah,
you know,
I guess.
That's what makes them happy. Like,
but that,
dog,
we get to go beyond that. They have to fight for their survival constantly. So it's like for us, it's like we get to add on to that. We get to actually do leisure things. You know what I mean?
That's a pretty recent concept, though. Have we only been human for the past 500 years?
I mean, if you believe that. I don't know what I believe in that because like, I don't know. I wasn't here 500 years ago. That's not a good enough reason to say I know what you mean. But, I mean, yeah, I don't know. Done with that part of being deep. So the movie. yeah, so this movie, I think, just does a good, like, it sets Caesar up in the first one to be this leader. And this one is questioning, like, what kind of leader he should be.
Or what kind of leader he will be. Yeah,
right, and that's why I was saying that I think he's one of the best leaders in a franchise because it delves so much, like each movie seems to delve into a different spot that is like super important and where they address some mistakes in the past one. In this one, it's similar as far as, you know, him trusting apes just because they're apes and he knows they're good humans. And like you were saying with Koba, I actually wrote down, do you think Koba would have made a better villain if he stuck to doing it because he felt like it was what was right? In a very easy comparison to this is Thanos. You love Thanos as a villain in Infinity War, and I agree with why this makes him a good villain, is because he's not necessarily out to just kill people. He will if he has to, if they get in his way, but he's a sympathetic villain, which in, you know, an argument makes... You could argue makes a good villain, which usually does. Not that you can't do it in a different way, whatever.
Looking at you, Sauron.
So, with that being said, Thanos is a good comparison. He did what he needed to do because he felt like it was right. Now, Koba, I felt like did that for sure for a while.
But you're saying he switched?
Yes, he made a switch. I think
so when
he made
he
it at least a hard. I think that there are even with what he's doing, he might still think it's right. But there's a switch, and I didn't know how drastic the switch was going to be. It could have been more drastic, but there is a switch.
So when do you think? Because I would argue that Koba is always doing what Koba thinks will be best. He is selfish. I do think he wants to rule. Well, it's kind of tough because it's hard to see when he's like, you know, because we're not from Koba's perspective. So it's tough to see like in the beginning if he's, because it seems like from just basically looking at it and from what he says that Koba is totally fine. He doesn't want to lead. He's totally fine being under Caesar's thing. And I will assume that is true. Because of Koba purposefully helps Caesar from the bear attack.
Yeah.
And he could have, like, if there was a thought in the back of his mind, like, I should be leading these guys.
And I'm almost second in command. Or, you know, he's at least
one of... He could have just let him die to the bear.
Right.
He didn't have to help him. It's not like, you know, he probably could have gotten away with that. So the fact that he makes that choice seems... I would infer that in the beginning, he's totally on his side. And they're like he says, like, brothers. But then I guess what ends up happening is that he just thinks that he truly buys into his own... sauce, and that he really thinks that Caesar doesn't have their best interests, is too kind to humans, and he just views humans as all bad.
I understand that. Right, that part I understand.
So
I'm,
so
following
I'm trying
you
to
there.
Get to the flip. Now, it does seem like towards the end of the movie when, you know, he's like imprisoning some apes and, you know, kind of not wanting people to question his authority, that he's being too... that he's kind of being selfish, like he just wants to rule above all else over his little ape nation. But to an extent, he could just be... I still don't think I could 100% say that he's flipped like a part of his character as far as he's gone from best interest of the group to I just want to lead. I don't think that there's enough there because I think he's just emulating the strength that he's seen from the humans. In a weird way, he hates humans because of how he's been... you know, kind of treated in like labs and different kinds of stuff. But then he's just doing exactly what, you know, he's seen them do, is just rule with an iron thumb. Don't question me. Do what I say. Kind of a shtick. But he still thinks it's the best way to rule them. They have to rule with force and through fear.
Yeah.
I don't think that I can say that he's just selfish. I don't know if there's enough evidence for that.
So, yes, I completely understand, which is why I actually felt bad for Koba at some points when he was like getting beat up by Caesar and stuff. Because I'm like, man, I understand that like it's not okay for Koba to do what he's doing, but this guy, like, he's been in labs his whole life. He only knows humans is bad. Like,
right.
It's totally understandable. He is justified for the reason of like his thought process. I understand it completely, and I think they did a good job with justifying his thought process. The moment where I feel like it starts to switch a little bit is when he kills Ash with like no hesitation. And part of this is like, hey, yeah, ruling with fear. Because, at the end of the day, his goal, at least at the beginning, was, or not the beginning, but when he starts to, okay, I have to kind of take over, is I need to make sure that the apes survive. And if it continues to go the way that Caesar's doing this, they're not going to, because humans are going
to
kill us
to make an omelet,
right? So I get that, and I understand that thought process. So, and again, I'm asking because I'm down for you to convince me otherwise, because I'm not even fully convinced this way. I'm just thinking,
yeah,
like, I'm wondering,
like, we're working through it, yeah,
right? Because I'm wondering if it was, or if he did actually kind of switch. So obviously when he kills Ash, it seemed a little overboard for me. But I guess that's just like ultimate fear. Like, there's consequences. If I kill this one thing, this one ape, no one's going to question me. We'll be done with it.
That's kind of the thing, because you got to think, Koba, the only reason that Koba took power was because Caesar didn't rule under an iron thumb. You know, Caesar had the opportunity to kill Koba, who stood up to him and said, "You're doing things wrong. You are this way." And Caesar had the opportunity to kill him right there when he was beating him, and he said no.
Yeah.
And then Koba ended up, to Koba's mind, killing him and then, you know, overthrowing him. So it's like, from Koba's perspective, a guy we know who is smart, you got to think to yourself, well, I'm not going to let some other kid come and usurp me the way I usurped Caesar.
Right.
So, you know, if someone speaks up against you, kill him. Do the thing that Caesar wasn't strong enough to do. I'll say that I think that Koba's actions are motivated by a shows of strength. Right?
I can give that him killing Ash was a, you know, a thing of fear and to show that he, you know, needs to just take control because no one, if someone questions you, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But especially with Ash being, you know, younger,
mm-hmm.
being a child in the ape world.
And being a big reason why Koba wanted to go to war in the first place, because Asher's the one who gets shot, right?
Right. Yeah. And so, like, it's just like, I'm trying to see if, man, that just makes him a better villain because he is ruthless to get what he wants, as long as it's for the right reasons. Just because, again, it seems so, it seems just very drastic. Because I'm trying to figure out if there's a switch of this, just I want power more so than just I want what the other people want. You know what I mean? And that yeah. that felt a little more on that side, but I maybe give that to you. But especially at the end when they were fighting on the top of the skyscraper thing and then the bomb like went off or whatever. So there was debris everywhere and he goes to pick up his gun. He goes to lift up a like a truss or whatever that's like falling on top of another ape, but the gun is on top of the ape. So he lifts it up, grabs the gun, and like slams it right back down on him. He's like, at this point, I feel like he just doesn't care about the apes. He just wants to kill Caesar and wants to
that
be in control.
True.
So
and the he very does shoot end, at a bunch of apes just trying to hit Caesar.
Like
he and does, all
that's
kind
the
of
thing.
Stuff.
It's like
yeah.
I feel like at that point, but again, I can understand at least at the end. So I'm not saying it makes it bad. That's why I was saying, does it actually make it bad if he at some point loses it? And if he doesn't, if he kind of tips that verge and then at the end loses the I'm going for what's best to getting power, I can understand that. You're in the heat of battle. That's all he wants at that point. So mm-hmm. something now has to happen. Like, he's going to lose. You know what I mean? Like, the villain's going to lose.
Yeah, I think Koba struggles with rage. I mean, if Koba was a human, right, and we were able to see more, because, you know, it's hard for us to see really nuanced stuff, especially since they don't really talk a lot, and their physical faces, you know, ape faces are different from human faces, obviously, and so it's hard for us to pick up a lot of nuance. But I would say that, like, somebody like Koba, if you were human, would be suffering from a pretty classic case of, like, you know, anger issues from his related to his past, yeah. right? I mean, so him getting into a fit of rage, like seeing Caesar come back and him losing his position.
But
it,
I still
I
don't
see
think
him,
he, I think the second anybody gets in his way, even about anything, he would kill him. I think he has
that's
enough
the rage
of the power,
part, right?
But just, not just yeah. being enraged, like, at a certain moment. I think when he gets that power, he's always then quote rage. Like
yeah,
once he's in
of.
Power, once I think the power was getting to his head once he got it, but I think the initial start was doing what's best for the apes.
We don't see enough of Koba as a leader. It's very fast. Like they basically he sets everything up, gets Caesar killed, gets everybody mobilized to go hunt down all the like humans and have their own big war, and it's basically just a big continuation of that. We don't see a lot of time of him in a state where they're not actively chasing down all the humans. You know, it's basically that throughout the whole rest of the movie, where it's he's like constantly in battle mode. We don't see like with Caesar where we go from battle mode to West, you know, kind of chilling and you know this is bad analogy, but like you know more calm diplomatic stuff to back to you know back and forth because yep. we have more time with Caesar obviously. So I don't know. I mean I don't know if it's just that you know he's in the middle of a war and he just feels like he has to be quick and decisive or if it's
no I think it's pretty well I mean even when Caesar came back and I mean this is just the character saying this doesn't mean it's fact but Caesar was like you don't fight for apes Koba fight for Koba. Like it was all about him at least True. In that moment and yeah. I think it escalated to the point where I mean, okay, even during, and you see this during the battle when they're yep. charging the actual building, he falls off his horse mm-hmm. and then he runs to another horse or like jumps on a car, off the car to another horse that another ape is riding, shoves the ape off and hops on the horse to continue forward.
Again, I don't know. I don't see that so much as selfishness. It's more about strength. It's like we need to get this done. Like I cannot... He doesn't show sympathy for weakness. It's not so much.
But the guy. But again, the ape on the horse wasn't weak. The horse he was charging in the battle. He's like, get
yes,
off!
But
I need to
Koba
do this.
Got on there with
but
two
again,
guns
that's
and riding
super,
the horse.
That's selfish.
He made everything go faster.
But
he
that's
was,
selfish.
Is that selfish?
Yeah, because he thought, regardless of whether he could or not, he thought that I can do this better than you without even giving the other ape. But like, he's just like, I need your horse. Get off. Doesn't ask. Doesn't
I don't
anything.
Know if that's necessarily selfish. Arrogant, maybe.
I think it's supposed to be a little bit of both. But I think that's. I don't think that's necessarily bad. I'm not. Because
he's
saying this
willing
is bad.
To throw himself into great danger for their general cause. You know.
Yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's not like.
So
it's I don't
not,
think it's overboard.
Yeah.
And because it's not overboard, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm right. just saying that I think there is a bit of that. I don't think it's all. I'm only doing this for what is right for the apes. I think it started. does that, and then I think it progressed, yeah, and then it which grew I don't think is else. Bad.
I'll give that to you. I think that's, yeah. That's
and that's what I was trying to figure out. Is that consensus. Bad? Could it have been better if throughout the whole thing he was just more, I'm only doing this because it's right kind of thing, and he seems a little more mournful, but... honestly, if no, the, I think I'm okay with this because he's kind of a he's a messed up looking ape. He's evil looking. Go with it. Make
he's
it make
evil looking. So just go with
no,
it.
But you know what I'm saying.
I like, know. I know.
The idea of at least he tried to do it because it's what he thought was right, but then shifts into this. It just fit his character. So I'm cool with it.
Well,
that's where I can settle with
the
it.
The big thing is as well is that with kind of how this plot progresses. If they had more time where they weren't in this movie, where they weren't, you know, dealing with the human issue, you could have more of kind of a debate on, because if Koba was just looking out to do the best thing for the apes, then I don't know. I would feel like the natural thing to do would be have more of like a, you know, when Caesar comes back, have more of a kind of a democratic way to resolve their issue, because, you know, it's like he would probably have apes on his side who are like, yeah, we just need to be strong and show strength. And yeah. Then Caesar would be like, well, he's our rightful ruler. You know, you were just trying to usurp him and all this kind of stuff. And there would have to be more of an internal conflict. But the conflict here is just between the two of them more than anything.
Yeah. All right. Well, cool. That was a long Koba rant there, but
oh,
I liked
good.
It.
He's a huge part of what makes it. This movie good, for sure.
Speaking of Koba, I really like that shot after he shot Caesar, and then he's with his Caesar's son, and he was like, "We'll avenge your father's death," kind of thing. And they went like the forehead to forehead thing, and yeah. There's just like flames behind him. They're just silhouettes. I was like, cinematography, dude. It
yeah.
So good.
I'll tell you what. I think a big thing that it would be hard for me to change my mind on is how this movie, and this movie has probably a more interesting backdrop than the first one.
Yeah, yeah.
But man, cinematography in this movie is great. Fucking love it.
Yeah.
How it's shot and how things look and how everything's set up. It's constantly there are scenes that are just badass and
yeah.
in your face. I mean, obviously, I talked for a second in what we were doing our last episode about the shot I really love where outside the city they're kind of talking and then everything gets quiet and then they look outside and they like open a door and the entire front is just all apes yeah. on horses with spears, and it just looks amazing. Obviously, the opening shot of this movie.
Another thing that like could have looked so bad if you're like, there's a bunch of monkeys out there, but yeah. like, man, mm-hmm. they make it so good.
No, they killed it. And then obviously the beginning after the whole pandemic montage thing was that Caesar and all his apes with the white paint
the
on them.
Paint,
they were
yeah.
yeah, the war paint they were going after, and they were hunting for elk or deer or whatever lives in that area. Yeah. Stuff like that was really cool as well, and just there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Obviously, the tank 360 shot
yeah.
was a big deal as well. So there's I think that the cinematography is better in this than Rise.
They have a lot more,
but
they have a lot more opportunities to do that stuff.
That's kind of point is that it's harder for
the cinematography fit the other
because
even the moments that they could do more epic cinematography, they did a good job in the first one, like the smoke across the bridge and stuff, and then he rides out underneath that, and just that was super cool. What you were saying, how they started with a close up on his eyes in the war paint, and the movie ends the same way, close up on his eyes. I don't know if you noticed.
Yep. And I think part of that is really showing, like, you know, kind of how much they've progressed, how much better this movie looks than the last one as far as, you know, CG on the monkeys. But also, you know, eyes are the window to the soul, but he's an ape. So it just kind of reinforces the whole what it means to be human.
What it means to be an ape man. Okay, starting here, or talking about the beginning here, because I wanted to hold off a little bit on this. Mm-hmm. Like I said in the last one, this is the times we're living in. The first line of this movie is, if you have a fever, cough, or sore throat, stay home.
Oh, wow.
That's how many times have we heard that over the past 4 months?
That is hilarious.
That's insane. It's so funny.
If only
funny.
They had shown a bunch of footage of like people on masks and stuff like
Dude,
that.
But just watching, and again, don't want to get political here, but then they showed riots, and also, I was like, dude, what's happening? I was like, we give this 10 years, we're going to be in a world where apes are ruling, and we're going to be post-apocalyptic. I'm like, this is crazy. It was so weird. I've never watched a movie that was so science fiction
so much
that
cooler.
You watch and you go, holy mess, this is exactly what's going on right now. Like, at least so, like, very,
very,
very
similar.
Similarly.
Yeah,
the way they were just talking about the pandemic, they said the words pandemic. They said, Mandatory quarantine sparked civil unrest. I'm like, yeah, people are getting quarantined and getting upset because I have to stay at home. That's happening. And how do you... They had a clip of Obama saying, prepare your families, know your evacuation route. What are the legalities on that? Can you just put Obama in your movies?
Well, yeah, you can put... He's a, any public figure you can just put in your
can
movies.
Can you?
Yeah, yeah.
Without asking them or paying them?
Nope. You don't have to have any right to... Because
that's what
public
I was wondering.
Figures have their... They don't... That's why, like, people can go and sell, like, Trump hats and stuff like that, yeah. Or masks or, you know, all the parody stuff you'll see. Because they're public figures. They don't, you know, so you open yourself up, you can do whatever.
They just found a good clip of him saying, prepare your families and know your evacuation route.
Impersonator.
No, I wasn't trying to, but I can. You want me to go again?
Yeah.
Prepare your families and know your evacuation route.
Obama doesn't seem very
not too bad. prepare your families.
Damn. Obama be wearing a trucker hat. prepare your family.
So... I liked, sometimes montages aren't great. I love this montage. It did a very good job at bridging the gap of the 10 years that passed, showing in the music they had behind it with the map with the red lines. It was just a cool visual. I really liked it.
I'll be honest. Yeah, it's one of the few times that the music actually stands out in the last two movies that we watched. I would say, like,
and then the
usually
end?
I talk a lot about music, film scores and stuff like that, and I didn't notice any of the music in this for the most part.
Yeah, but the at the end of that montage. Weirdly. Where like it's dying down and even the lights are like going down and stuff, and then you hear almost this over radio voice and the music is like subtle and like slow piano, and he says, maybe this is it, this is how it ends, pretty soon there won't be any of us left. I was like, no, like it was just so good. And then right from that it's like thunder cracking and you see his eyes. I'm like, bro, this is such a fire opening for this movie. It's so good. It just sets up the tension. I love it. This opening was fantastic.
Oh yeah, for sure. I gotta talk about it. Obviously, a bit of a meme that I didn't like James Franco in the first one. I do think that the new cast feels a lot stronger. Who's this fucker? Who's the kind of the main guy? Jason Clark. I found him much more watchable as the human diplomat. And then obviously Gary Oldman as kind of like the leader of the humans. I liked him. There was some cool like. Especially in the beginning of this movie, there's some cool parallels. Like, I know that there's a scene where, you know, Caesar is kind of, they're talking about the humans and what they're going to do, you know, because they just saw the little group of humans, basically, and what they're going to do about it and all that kind of stuff. And then they, you know, Caesar's like calm, collected, doing all this stuff, and they cut right to Gary Oldman, and he's like on a megaphone trying to shut everybody up because everyone's like questioning him, and he's like kind of lost control for the most part of his like crowd. And it was such a great, like, you know, dichotomy, I guess, is because, you know, you have the ape who is like leading his people well and they all believe him, and then you have the dude who's like losing at everything, and they're all like, what are you gonna do about it? You know, like calling him out and shit. I just thought that was really really neat.
That was good. And then the first line from the apes is like, go, and they shout it.
Go!
Dude, almost to the point of no. But you know they can speak now, and it's just not quite there, but it's close. It's a good one.
Yep.
And, so the people in this movie, the humans, are good, for sure. I do really like them. I don't know... It's again, it's so different, you know, when you have, I know you weren't a huge fan of James Franco. I liked his performance in The Rise. I like how it showed kind of the impact that it had on Caesar. Whereas this is, like I was saying before, almost diplomatic as far as the way that they speak to each other and kind of figure things out. And I think it's fantastic. I do think
Jason
they do a really
Clark
good job.
Sees the good, obviously, in humans and in apes. And then obviously Caesar is the same way, but then they have their own people that they're trying to, you know, there's forces outside of their control that they're trying to influence to make change, but you know, it's difficult. And there is general distrust because, you know, because their other people are such fuck ups. There's the guy, I think his name was Carver in it. that who is the guy who initially shoots one of the apes and then ends up, you know, continues to be a problem throughout the movie until Koba knocks him off. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know, he's playing like the, again, just your general asshole guy who's there to cause problems. But at the same time, you kind of understand his plight. You know what I mean? He's I mean, he's not the smartest guy in the world, but you understand it's like, you know, I mean, if you think about it, in a weird world where like H1N1, which is, you know, nothing cares about, it, like killed off like everybody and like especially personally, like all the people you knew and stuff. And now you got to live in this shitty post-apocalyptic. There are a bunch of talking pigs walking around going, hey, we're OK. You kind of be like you would resent them. That's a very natural.
I disagree. I don't like that scene where they're sitting on the campfire and he was like, I can't stand the sight of them and all that kind of stuff. And then she was like,
why?
Well, you can't blame them. Like, we literally created this disease.
Maybe
the
you fact that and I can't
to it,
sympathize
no,
to
I can
it,
understand
but,
that okay. There are people that are dumb that would do that. But again, I think they're dumb. I think they're not giving the opportunity to really think through what happened as to how the disease was created. The fact that they...
Well, you don't know what they know. I mean, it was quick.
Right. But that's the thing is I can understand. So I can understand where he's coming from as far as I can understand people like that. But I don't... I still look at his character as somebody that's just not willing to try to understand. That's frustrating.
That's very human.
No, I understand. There are people like that. Yeah. But I'm saying that I don't. You said you would hate them, right? No, I don't think I would. I think
you're
I'm.
Right. That's why I was kind of correcting. Right. You and I probably wouldn't associate, like, you know, fall into that mentality. I mean, I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt because we're so far removed from a situation like that. Obviously, I mean, you're talking about an insane concept where a disease comes through and wipes out like. Most like 90% of life,
but I've seen a lot of
life.
Situations where like people are getting blamed for the wrong stuff. For example, it's the same thing. Of I know this is totally different, like, but it's kind of similar. Mm-hmm. Where we've worked at food industry stuff,
yeah,
and people get mad at the employees for stuff we have no control over. Makes no sense, and I understand that kind of stuff. Right. So that has put me in a perspective of not just food service, but then looking at everything to go, does this person actually have control over this? No, who should I really be frustrated with? Not just food, but that's given me the ability to look at that in any aspect. So I would figure if I had grown up, which I did in my life, to have an experience where I can understand that I shouldn't be mad at person A when it's person B's fault, that I can then look at most other situations and say, is this person's A fault? Okay, no, then who should I be mad at? Whereas people like this character, which he is probably supposed to, and he is, because all the other characters are very frustrated with him. Yep. This character is supposed to frustrate you. And he did. So I guess that's good. But my whole point
but
is...
also, he's not so such a big asshole, because this is movies do this all the time, where you have a character who needs to cause problems for the plot, and he's such an asshole that you can't... You're like, this is unrealistic.
Right.
It's like illogical that you're this asshole. But that's my point, is that we know, even with coronavirus, there are people out there, not a lot, but there are people out there who are like avoiding Asian restaurants and like not, you know, like, and blaming like Chinese people for
it
and stuff.
Right.
If you want to blame the Chinese government, that's a different thing. But Chinese people, nah, come on. That's ridiculous and dumb. But it exists. You know what I mean? Like, people do fall into that mentality. And you're talking about something that's like a million times worse than Corona. So, I mean, you know, I was able to go, you know what, this guy is a dick, but.
But
I,
you say I a million times. I'm not, just again, I like the idea of like. Not, it's gonna sound really bad.
I like the idea that the corona is not is kind of
that's
at,
not
like,
even, but it's always interesting to watch something and go, wow, watching the events, like I said in the beginning, and seeing how similar it's like we are only a couple months into corona, and I don't want it to be bad. Don't get me wrong.
Like
they were
do.
Talking about this simian flu that got bad, and they got to the point where the survival rate was only 1 in 500. So it's like, but it took many years to get to that point. So it's like. Bro, oh my gosh, what's going to happen to us right now?
Yeah, I guess I need to listen to that opening, some of that news dialogue a little bit closer.
Yeah,
because
I was trying to figure out. I think I put subtitles on too.
I was trying to figure out like how long, because the movie takes place 10 years after the first one.
Yeah.
But how long did it take between the end of the first one and the beginning of the first one? Or how long in that 10 years did it take for it to get down to where it was like, because they said they, I remember in the movie, the orangutan, his name I can't remember, says a line
Maurice.
Like, Maurice, yes. He says, 2 winters, no sign of humans.
Yeah. And
so that would only mean the last 2 years when, like, so it took, like, a while for it to totally die out.
Well, I'm sure it didn't
out.
Just go, like, boom, like, snap. Yeah. Then it's going to take a while. Probably did it gradually. They just haven't seen it. They probably saw less and less and less every year.
Because I was trying
but
to
again,
figure out.
We don't know even how many humans are out there. We know there's one city, but they contacted another city and a military force.
Yeah.
So there are probably groups here and there. They're just far enough from each other that they don't know exactly where their closest
but, like,
group
the
is.
Global industry, like economy and like network and everything has totally fallen apart.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I will say that if that's the case, it's a little strange to me that Caesar and all of his apes were able to live in the Redwoods so easily and for that long. Like, they caused a shit ton of havoc. No one came after him for that.
Well, no,
they just
because,
lost the Redwoods because of it, you know?
Well, I don't think anybody would come after them because, well, again, like I said, they're trying to fight. The apes are surviving this, but they're not the ones that are causing the problems. The apes are doing their own thing.
No, I know they're not causing the flu, but they did kill a bunch of people, and they're a bunch of, you know, you got like hundreds of just wild apes running around the Redwoods, which is a national park. So, I mean, that's...
Well, so are they in the Redwoods after...
they're in the Redwoods in the beginning of this movie.
But the trees didn't look quite as big.
But they're still in San Francisco.
So
they
might
be
right out. I'm just saying they might be a little further. They might have tried to find a place that's a little more secluded while the humans died off. That's what I'm saying.
If, I mean, anywhere
in
the U.S.
They might have been more secluded, is what I'm saying. Like, the first few years, I'm sure they were hiding more. You know what I mean?
I guess so.
We didn't see that.
It just, yeah, it just kind of, I feel like that's a movie in and itself.
I
know.
I'm down for the movie that you put in between here. But it's interesting because, like I said, I think they're far enough apart to where, like, there's probably, just a handful in every state, maybe, of, like, groups. You know what I mean? So it's like, once they get down to that purpose, or the purpose, to that point of only a few in every state, that's my assumption. Because they're far enough away that they don't know exactly where the people close to them, or closest to them, are the next civilization.
They're not in constant communication, so they probably talked to somebody like 8 months ago, and they don't know what they could still be there.
Exactly.
They could be gone, they could be wiped out. I mean,
so, yeah. You know, the apes being close enough to this civilization are still probably super far away from anywhere else. But, yeah, so like I said, opening of this movie, really good. There were some, the opening where they're like chasing all the elk and stuff, and then Koba jumps on the bear. I was like, all those huge jump scenes where like you just see an ape flying through the air and landing on something else was super dope. What, you're about to say something?
Well, I was just thinking that because we were talking about the in between years and like if humans tried to hunt them down, it would be interesting if they did like kind of refer to that or show it a little bit as far as like humans trying, like in the early years of the virus, trying to still hunt them down to kind of like help solidify a lot of like the general ape resentment and hatred, like beyond Koba towards humans. Because, you know, 10 years passed. To me, when I watched this movie, especially for the first time, I kind of thought the flu was really quick. Like 6 months after the first movie, most people were dead. That's kind of how I thought it would happen.
To the point where they were like I said, there's mandatory quarantines. There was like civil unrest. Riots started. They had to enact martial law. They said martial law was enacted in 28 nations.
Yeah.
Again, I watched this like subtitles, so I think I wrote down some of it just to get an idea.
So I was like, okay, well, basically that's how they were able to survive and so easily is because they had bigger fish to fry, which is still true to an extent, but it would have been interesting to see some of that, to see kind of general hatred. Because, I mean, 10 years is enough time to kind of start, like, forgetting, especially because, I mean, apes don't live as long as humans do.
Yeah.
So I think that's getting into the territory of, like, you know, there's, like, newer people who are born who maybe haven't even seen humans, have no history with them, and, you know, don't have that kind of resentment toward them or anything like that. So it's just interesting. I was just thinking about different ways that the story could be portrayed.
Yeah, because I guess this is not, you know, good enough for you, so.
Hey, that's the thing. Can always be better.
Let's see here what I got. Obviously, we talk about the scene where they kind of come to the humans and like, don't come back and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I like that they at least gave a reason for why they brought back the guy that we don't like who shot Ash.
Yeah.
Because, like, he's the only person, like, he knows how the dam works. He's the only person that knows how the dam works because he worked for them, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
Nate?
I was going to say that, but honestly, I wouldn't say that because it makes sense that
out of the amount of people there.
That. Yeah, because they had a small group. That's why they would bring that guy to be, like, look, because they were looking for the dam. They weren't expecting
this. They just
this.
Brought him and didn't explain anything when it would have been smart. Like, why are you bringing him? He shot one of them.
Yeah.
Like, I have to. Right. I was like, appreciate that. You clarified that for me. Yep, and then we hit that scene, like I was saying before, and the guy was saying, like, yeah, spare me the hippy-dippy, whatever, stupid, I don't want to hear it, kind of like, scientists created this, has nothing to do with them kind of thing.
Yeah,
the fact that he wasn't even, like, willing to listen to, like, the facts that she was just very clearly putting out there, it just frustrated me, which... But there are people like that, so it wasn't unrealistic.
Right, yeah, and that's the main thing.
Especially when it's, like, those, especially if they hear about the incident that happened. It was like a 6-hour standoff apparently between apes and the police.
Right.
By the time I think they got out of the facility and then got across the bridge is I think what it said right. In the opening of this. They said it in the news or whatever. So like that's an event going down in history.
Yeah.
And so they're going to portray the apes as bad and that's where the start of the disease comes from. So I can totally understand that is his mindset. But it's just frustrating. But that's the point. Everybody was frustrated and pissed off at him when he did stupid stuff. So at least they're on our side. let's see. Let's see. What else you got? Hit me up.
Yeah, I guess he's just... we touched on it a little bit, but it's much more evident in this movie where their choice of kind of using speech as only way to communicate with humans and then also... and to, you know, be threatening and basically, like, they use speech when it's, like, absolutely necessary, when they're trying to talk to someone far away or, you know, talking to humans or something like that. They have, since they use sign language primarily for their speech, it really does help keep the movie grounded,
yep.
You know, it's in, and also it gives, you know, more of a culture to the apes. I think it would have been cool to see a little bit of, like, ape life outside of, you know, whatever ape life they've developed outside of, like, you know, war and hunting and the kind of human stuff, you know, kind of
yeah,
seen them do
yeah.
something more basic. Did they have like little monkey school?
That's what they kind of, I think they tried to show us that at the beginning. And after you show that, it's probably very routine. When they were hunting, they got their whole pack out to kind of hunt.
Yep.
They showed that. And then when they got back, they showed Maurice with like scratches in the wall, like trying to teach the kids. It said ape, not kill ape. And all this other stuff like on the little stone wall. So besides that, what else is there?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean,
I don't know about you. I don't know if I want a whole movie of that.
No, not a whole movie. Yeah. I just, you know, I just thought it would have been interesting. I like seeing, you know, more
like
of their like
the
little
monkeys. Monkey do monkey
watching
things.
Their little whatever little civilization they and especially like it would have been cool to explore some of the differences between because the way they're presented it's basically like I said like very much like Stone Age man, you know, they're building maybe a little bit beyond Stone Age, but they're building like wood structures that they all live in. They have like a tribal style society and that kind of, you know, thing. It would have been cool to see how a newly intelligent species like apes would differ from how we came up. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, these are just things I thought about while watching the movie.
If anything, I don't know if it's what would make it better. I think it's actually I think that's almost a good sign of like, wow, this is so cool. I want more.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Like there's a very big difference of like, well, if they did this, it would have been better. Like, I think obviously they try to do it with what they could in the time allotted and they told a very good story with it and it just makes you want more, which I don't think is necessarily bad, which is kind of like when you get all these really pop culture type of series like Lord of the Rings and Star Wars and all that kind of stuff. When people get so into it, it tells a good story, but they want to know more. So they either make up their own stuff or then more comics come out of it
comes out of it. I don't think that this certainly hasn't reached the level of some of that stuff just because, I mean,
right.
just on based on the metric of, I don't know how many, you know, like fan based,
right.
you know, stuff there is about this, but I definitely had the feeling while watching it that I wanted to know more about what was happening with the apes.
But that's what I'm saying.
Humans,
that's the difference is like, that's how I think those movies get there is they give you enough to want more. I think that's what this did, so I think that's a good thing. They say Caesar says like, no, we're gonna let them stay kind of thing, and he's like, because he says it's our one chance for peace. And I was like, that for me was just another like scene that was showing him being like, again, that finding that balance and being a good leader. A good line that I thought stood out. But yeah.
I really like the scene where Koba goes to that armory.
Where he kills the people?
There's
two of them.
Yeah. But I think it's also funny that apparently those two guys, their only job is to shoot cans and get drunk.
Yeah.
Basically. That's the whole time
they're testing out all the guns. Yeah.
I guess so. Yeah.
Well, that's what they said. They said they're testing them out back.
That's just funny that they, like, for consistently for, like, at least 2 days, they're just out there shooting different machine guns in a broken Humvee. I just thought it was funny. But I do love the scene where he, you know, reverts to this, like, it just shows his, again, his level of intelligence on Copa's part, that he goes, he basically shows them what they want. Like, he's acting like some kind of circus monkey and making them laugh. And it's, and then I love the instant turn. As soon as he's like playing with the gun,
he spins it to where when it hits the bottom, he does the trigger, goes right at the dude's body.
Right at the dude. And then he's just holding the way he holds it over, like kind of gangster style, like a pistol, but it's like the AR or whatever over the other guy. And he's just instantly like deadpan face.
Yeah.
It's fucking great.
That was so good.
Yeah, for sure. Love that stuff.
And then another thing really quick on Koba again, which I liked from the beginning, or when he was first starting to kind of be like, I'm doing this for the apes, and he felt betrayed by Caesar, especially when he's like, you care about them more than, you know, your own kids, all that kind of thing, and all that stuff. And then he like beat him up and is like, at some point, and then he even still asked for like the forgiveness thing, and the second he touched his hand, he like ran away.
Right.
But he still did stuff, and like even he went to
he talked to his son. Yeah.
And that I really like that to actually feel for him a little bit.
He said a really good line, like, I fear for Caesar's life.
I wrote it down. He says, as long as they are here, I fear for Caesar's life.
Yeah.
And
really like, I was like, that showed, man,
it's like either he's trying to play him. I think maybe a little bit of that.
No. He was. I have 100%. Yes. Yeah. Why else would he say that?
Because part of me wants to believe that he is, at least in the beginning, still trying to do this a little bit for Caesar.
No, I think, and this is,
or at this point, you think it's too far.
After he got beat, there's a look on his face that is like a realization. And then when he goes to ask for forgiveness, by that point, he already knows.
Yeah, I think you're right, because when he wanted that forgiveness, the second he touched his hand, he ran away. Yeah. Like, he was kind of done. I don't know. I like the idea
because contextually, there'd be no point in showing that scene.
Yeah,
if it didn't mean that he was manipulating him.
I was trying to turn into that. But yeah, either way, it's still good. I still like that scene.
Yeah. But it means so much more when you know that he's conniving a plan to try to divide and pull his son away from him.
Yeah.
And,
very interesting that Caesar got betrayed, just like in the classic story of Caesar.
Yep.
Caesar gets betrayed.
I think it would have been too on the nose if they'd called him like Brutus or something like that.
Koba. Crudus. There you go.
But
fixed.
To be fair, they totally have an et tu Brute moment where, because Caesar sees Koba with the gun and he's looking at him, he's like, and he just has a second to realize, oh fuck. And then boom, he's done.
Yeah, that is true.
And so, I mean, he doesn't die. But
I kind of like that.
Yeah,
that
I mean,
there's
actually a lot. Fuck, I mean, I'm just talking about, I'm realizing all the actual parallels to the play, the Shakespeare's play about Caesar. Because, I mean, like, his son is basically like, what's his name in the play, Octavius? He gets all the troops to get together to kind of go against the new leader of Rome and all that kind of stuff. I didn't really fully put that together before right now, but
one last other thing too about Caesar's development is when he was at the house and like they were repairing him and hiding him away, and then his son comes to him and he says, he says that he's like, I thought ape better than humans, now I see how much like them we are. And that's just furthering what I've been saying this whole time, is like he's understanding, especially after being away from humans for so long, that like that trait is more than just being human, which is what's making ape an ape.
Right.
I don't know.
I will say, unless I miss something, what are the fucking odds they just happen to bring him back to his old house?
Okay, so first of all, I'll address that, but also really quickly, that character, like I said, because from where he was at the end of that last movie, where I felt like he was kind of done with humans. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm trying to bring it back. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Okay, he told him to go there. Or he told them to stop there.
So why? Well, for what purpose?
Because he wanted to go somewhere that felt like home, I guess, that he knew was out of the way, that Caesar would know was out of the way
I
of the city.
I guess so, but man, I mean, they literally took, they had to walk him from the Redwoods to his house?
They were
house?
In a car. They drove the truck.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. Fuck.
And I don't. And they were on their way back. I don't know if he actually told them which direction to go. He might have. Because I don't remember if there was a scene where they said, where is, or a line that said, where is he taking us? But I know he made noise when they were there. And he's like, why here? Like, and they didn't even know why. And then they that was the house. Which, that's another thing I was going to ask you is, I liked the way they brought back the stuff from the last movie. I feel like it felt very natural, but the way you're bringing this up, maybe you didn't.
Well, that's what I was saying, unless I missed something. I thought they just coincidentally ended back there. I didn't
he brought
catch
them there.
The...
Yeah.
What does he say? Did he
I
say?
Don't remember if he says, I know a place, or something along those lines, or gives them an idea, and like... But I don't know
still
if they're...
Still a little
there
strange,
might
like,
be on the way
and
pass the house. No, but I think maybe they pass the house, and then he makes the
That's
noise
pretty
to stop
coincidental
there.
That they just happen to pass.
Maybe that part,
like,
but...
they're in a neighborhood and they just happen to pass. You know, like,
yeah,
what
maybe.
San Francisco is a big fucking place. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, if that's the case, if he tells him, if he's like, go to 156 Bay Ridge Road, San Francisco 30265, like, that's weird. I don't know. And or him guiding, okay, and 0.3 miles, you're going to take a left. it's weird, right, to think about. That's probably why the movie didn't show you.
I liked it the way it didn't draw me out.
It's not a big deal.
But
at the moment, I was like, wait a minute, how'd they get back here?
But even, and then once they got to the house, I liked how they incorporated stuff, like watching the video of him and Will. I didn't think it felt forced. I liked him going back to his past and kind of reliving it because he's such a different character now
from that
fun-loving like ape that he was all the way up through the first half of the movie. Makes me miss little fun Caesar.
And
I even say fun Caesar like, he was still old enough to be like, I'm an older kind of ape.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just because he was a kid. It was because he was just more, you know, he was treated well. He was, I don't want to say naive, but he wasn't sensitive to the way that he was about to be treated because he didn't know what was, you know, obviously ahead of him. And he had good, positive experiences and just that difference. I liked him, man. I like this monkey.
He's growing on me.
And I like that they use that window symbol for everything. That's their little sign. Love that, because that's what he grew up seeing and
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah,
it's a cool little touch. That's a way to kind of bring that back, too. But, yep. And then at the end, the humans try to blow up the tower, which just doesn't work, which is kind of like, what?
That
because,
is
like,
weird.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. And then it's such a big thing that he sacrifices his life for it, then it doesn't even work.
That plot line goes nowhere.
Yeah,
that was a big thing that I wanted to bring up.
Maybe that's the one thing that I wish they would have done differently. Even if a couple of the monkeys were able to escape as it was collapsing or something, but the fact that it didn't really collapse at all was like, dang, man, this dude killed himself for nothing.
And also,
but I like that he was willing to sacrifice that because it did something that like a lot of, I feel like, movies wouldn't do, sacrifice the character that's somewhat a main character or supporting character. So then again, like I said, there's these two different sides and feeling like you're doing what's best for your people, and he was willing to sacrifice himself. But the fact that it didn't go anywhere, it's like didn't really feel
like it
paid off.
Just, there's no, yeah, it was, just felt like it was for nothing. And then also the fact that like I didn't want Malcolm is his character. I keep forgetting his actor name. I didn't want him to die there, and I feel like it would have felt unnatural, but the way he survives it is pretty bullshit. He like jumps back and hides by the subway thing. It's that powerful blast, like the fire doesn't work. Like, you know, if you get behind something, that's like in you remember in The Hobbit when the dragon fire where they're hiding behind pillars and fire goes by them. Nah, that's not how that works.
I can, if it's towards the edge of the fire, I can see it not wrapping around fully. If it's on the base that's shooting out,
it's supposed to be a big fucking explosion.
But it was. But then again, it didn't blow down the building. Like,
yeah,
how
he's,
powerful
he's
was
in
it?
He's in the room where all
but
the
But I will give you that because you did
you
see the explosion go up through the middle, which is
and
so
you
much
see
higher.
It go over Malcolm, the character. You see the fire go over him, but it just doesn't go down into him, which again wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
Fill the room to its best ability. But yeah, it's just. I mean, like I said, didn't want the character to die there, but the way they have him survive is kind of dumb. They should have had a different way of resolving that issue. But it really does feel kind of bad that that's in there. They wanted to show him sacrifice, but they didn't want to have to deal with any of the repercussions of having the tower actually come down.
That's almost seems like a little bit of lazy writing. Like, they could have figured that out a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, they had characters set up in a way, and they didn't know how to really resolve them, because I guess they didn't want to show a bunch of the apes die from this. Because, I mean, that's kind of how you would
or Caesar die from it. The idea was they're going to blow it up and take down at least 90% of these apes.
Yeah, you probably could have had like Caesar and Koba survive the fall of the tower and have a lot of the other apes die, and it probably would have worked.
Tall. Like, you would have to, like even if they started fighting and throughout the fight they got lower and lower to where they, like, could jump out as it's exploding.
That's the thing.
Something.
If you saw the building, like, fall in on itself slowly, you know how buildings, when they demolish them, they kind of, like, fall in steps. So it's not just one giant big fall. In movie logic, I could at least see them surviving something like that.
Yeah, I don't have, I really don't have a proper way of doing this, a conclusion. Like, I don't know.
The thing is that you probably just would have had to show a bunch of apes dying.
Well, if I had time, I feel like I could come up with something better than the fact that it just didn't
do anything.
Yeah, and maybe, I don't know, part of that's like, okay, well, that also sucks that he was willing to sacrifice and didn't even do anything.
Yeah.
Is that a good story point? I don't know. It didn't fully
clip. I don't
buy into it. It wasn't bad enough to be like...
Because what's the point of it not doing anything?
To show how dumb the character actually is.
Wow, yeah, great.
Yeah, I would have preferred if they did something else, but it didn't kill the movie for me in any way.
No, but it is there, and it is kind of in your mind a little bit. And so it's a flaw, but it's not a huge one. It's definitely not world demolishing.
All right, and then at the end, where basically he's like talking to Malcolm, and he's like, "Ape started war, human will not forgive." What do you think of that? Do you think that's him going backwards because he wants to try? Or do you think that's him basically trying to be like, we're going to have to fight back at this point, but we'll try our best to stay out of the way?
It is. It's kind of, well, he's in a tough spot because...
Just curious, kind of.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good question for sure. Because the way it's, from his perspective, you know, they kind of already had, like, their revolution, let's say, in the first one that ended up where it was kind of needed. Apes kind of had to get away, and so they kind of had to fight there. And
fighting for their life and their rights at that point.
Right, and then this one, it's more of kind of a territory kind of a base. It's a trust-based thing anyway. They just, neither sides, you know, it's monkey Cold War. It's neither side believes that the other one's going to leave them alone, even though really all they want is just to be left alone. Neither side actually cares about killing the other one.
I think it's the fact that the apes started the war. It's the fact that this war started, and then they called backup from military, whatever people that were on their way. Now everyone's going to know the war actually started. There was devastation that they're going to be able to see from the apes, because at that point, it's going to be really hard to convince the humans, because at least before, knowing humans are good and they're being a little bit of rough, past there, Caesar thinks he can patch it up, but I guess he just feels like it's gone too far. I don't think Caesar is looking for war. I think it's
definitely not that, and I don't even think he's commenting on humans themselves. He's not saying, oh, humans won't understand because we're just dumb apes. They're going to come in and see what's going on, and they're going to see that we kind of came out on top, and there's a lot of humans dead, and obviously that's not going to fly. I mean, it's more pragmatic, I think. Yeah. It's not, he's not basically saying, oh, humans will never understand us.
Yeah.
If he is, I don't quite get that, because he's had multiple humans understand him.
Yeah. And a good quote from, I think it's Thor Ragnarok, maybe?
Dang.
Where Odin says, a good king does not seek out war, but must always be prepared for it.
Yeah.
And boy, if that ain't Caesar.
Boy, dang it, if that ain't Caesar.
And boy, dang it, if that ain't Caesar, I ain't know what is, boy. My boy, Caesar, prepare for war any day of the week. You about to find out in this next movie. Except I think...
Goodbye.
I think they find... Spoiler for the next movie. I think they find him, like... in a snowed-in shack or something, remember? Caesar, like, older and in a... I'm spoiling this for you because you don't even remember. Whatever, we'll get to it.
I do think there is some kind of shack going on, but I definitely remember the beginning of War of the Planet of the Apes. It's crazy, bro.
Whoa, crazy, dude. The
beginning's crazy. Okay.
Well, that's it. We pretty much dove deep into that movie.
That movie right there, though. That movie right
So far, you're liking this one more?
Dawn all the way.
I'm not even going to tell you guys which one I like more until we're at the end, and then we rate them like usual. Because even still, man, it's hard for me. It is do be kind of hard.
If it wasn't for Franco.
If it wasn't for Franco, would you like the first one more? Like,
I mean, it totally depends.
Do you think that would have been enough for you?
There's a possibility. I tell you what, if they had, you know, and I'm still married to the idea that I proposed to you about the villain being Franco's character.
Right.
If they had gone that direction, I think there is a story in there that beats, for me personally, Dawn. That would, you know, that could be compelling enough to the point where it would beat out Dawn in my book.
Hmm.
It exists in there, but it's just impossible to tell.
Yeah, so Rise is definitely more contained and small until the end when you have that big climactic thing that I think you just, man, it's so good because you earned it.
Really?
And so
wait,
it's
I would say Dawn is more contained. It's as far as plot goes.
What?
As far as plot goes, Dawn is more contained. It is about this thing and this thing alone. Rise is sprawling as far as plot goes because it's over large swaths of time and it has a lot of things as far as concepts going for and stuff like
that. As far as Dawn goes, there's the city against... There's a civilization against a civilization. There's a war and then there's betrayal. So, sure, that... I can summarize that very quickly, but what I mean is this is a very, like, Rise is more of a close to home story. You know what I mean?
Okay.
That's kind of what I mean. We're contained in that aspect, and then really digging into that character and the characters of how they grow based on these close to home
it's more personal
experiences.
I get
you.
Damn.
You had to have heard
that
thunder.
That is fucking wild, man. That is
they
loud.
They had to have heard that thunder. Our microphones are good at not picking up outside noise, but that was a big hole. Boom, boom.
Man, it rained. Was it last night? It
Dude,
also rained?
Out of nowhere hard, and I had to drive in it.
Yeah. And there was one roll of thunder, I swear to God, lasted about 45 seconds. It just never stopped. It was just...
Shh, be quiet. Is that just the rain? I thought I heard the roll continuing. That's rain.
Yeah, that's just rain.
I'm telling you, you were confused with the other one, too.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, it just kept on... It was like it would start to get low, and then it would roll back up.
Right. So I guess what I mean is this movie has...
My
Dawn has... Okay. Dawn had a more epic, grand plot story. Plot and story.
Plot story.
And if that makes sense. Over a grand kind of...
you said Rise or Dawn?
Dawn. Whereas plot or as the plot goes and the situations go,
you know,
Rise,
I
feel like it was
more grand visually, but it's a pretty, like I said, contained story. It is one... It's
I don't mean the idea of what the plot is. I almost mean... I don't. You know what I'm trying to say. The other one is more personalized. Like I said, the first one, Rise, is a lot more personalized. What's going on between those characters, even if it's taking place over a long period of time.
Yeah,
I don't consider that more grand. I think the word grand would go to Dawn.
It tackles a lot of different things, though.
They both tackle a lot of things. But I think as far as the everything combined, when you're watching the story, combining visuals with the scale of the setting and the plot, all those I think make it more grand, whereas Rise is more contained, personalized until the end. But that's my take.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. It we're really arguing over semantics at this point.
But I think they're very different. I think I might be leaning more towards Dawn a little bit. That's kind of how it started. But, man, Rise gave it a lot more run for its money than I remember.
Yeah, it certainly is a lot better than I originally remember it being. Yeah.
And that, with that being said, we're done.
Wow.
And we'll get back to you guys
that was so
next
cool.
week with War of the Planet of the Apes.
Dang, bro, you're killing it.
Dude, now that we're on the couch chilling, holding our mics, we got so much freedom.
I don't know if we're going to be able to go back to the chairs, dude. The couch is
pretty
nice. It is
kind of nice. I'm not going
to
lie.
I have to hold my mic, but fuck it, bro.
It's chill. So, yeah, thank you guys for listening. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, please give it a review. We'd much appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
And go follow us on Instagram at That's Movies Brother.
Mm-hmm.
And we are a newer podcast at this time still. So engagement's hard on a podcast platform. But man, if you can reach out to me, if you listen to this podcast, I'm going all out on this one.
All right.
I'm going all out on asking for sure. Like, because wow. If I don't care why you listen to the podcast. I don't care if it's because, you know me or Nate personally, and so you listen to it. If you're listening to this episode...
Jonah, don't send us a fucking email.
I don't care. If it's Jonah, I don't care. I want feedback, whether it's an email to thatsmoviesbrother@gmail.com, at thatsmoviesbrother Instagram, or Tyler C. Gillette, my Instagram. What do you guys want us to talk about? What do you guys like? How it's been structured? Give us feedback. Good, bad. I don't care. I want this community to grow a community into talking about movies. And a really big one, too. YouTube videos. I'm sure you guys either watch podcasts on YouTube or listen to or watch other movie related YouTube stuff. We are getting into that. We have some things written down that we're going to do. Things are crazy with scheduling right now, but we're working on it. We have a nice video already of one podcast up. But if you guys have any things you want us to tackle in video format that's a little more condensed, we're going to freaking do that. So please reach out.
Please.
And that's it.
Tell me if I'm saying butts and wee-wees enough. I'm constantly on the, you know, on the fence. It's like sometimes I'm saying a lot, and I'm like, okay, calm down with the butts and wee-wees. But then sometimes I'm like, maybe give butts and wee-wees a little more love. Jesus Christ.
We're going to go before...
The house is coming
actually, the
down.
Power could go out.
Oh.
Going to end this podcast now. Didn't even think of that with how loud that thunder was.
Goodbye.
We'll see you guys. Bye-bye.